Quest for Truth, Episode 258.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectors of the Book and HPN. Now located at life-truth.com, here are your podcast host deputies, Keith Heltzley and Nathan Caldwell.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Keith, and it is time for Quest for Truth. As your podcast host deputy, as we give ourselves the title, I don't have Nathan Caldwell live with me in the studio, so we wanted to talk about, in our own separate areas of background, we'll call it meeting the hosts, because what I wanted to do is present statements of faith. But I thought we would at least present some really basic, fundamental areas so that new listeners can get a feel for who we are, where we're coming from, what our beliefs are, what our denomination is. And so I picked the scripture and God, because just about everybody's statements of faith will include those, and they're pretty fundamental if you want to get those straight before you start tackling a lot of the rest. And so this probably won't be as long as episode as usual, but hopefully you'll get an idea of how we, process things, what might be a good word. So there are some things I want to mention before we get going. One, of course, is our recent affiliation with the Christian podcast community, which I've been told, the URL I have been giving is not wrong, but I'm told that ChristianPodcastCommunity.org might be a more direct way of finding it. So there you go. Check that out. And check this out.
Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Chad, and you are listening to The Way Radio. To be freed from the cult of Alcoholics Anonymous and from addiction, simply through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was introduced to the concept of God through Alcoholics Anonymous, and then walked steadily toward the gates of hell without any clue that that's what was happening to me. And I just love that quote because it encapsulates so well what I've been trying to tell people for years about the dangers of Alcoholics Anonymous. So thank you for listening to The Way Radio. You can find us on the web at thewayradio.net. If you'd like information on Recovery Reformation, you can go to recoveryreformation.org. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to email me, and you can do that to Chad at the way, the letter R122.org. God bless you until next time.
Okay, and that was one of the many new podcasts that are now on the network, and there are a lot more to come. So hopefully we'll be hearing about a lot of cool things and people you haven't heard of before. Oh, and I also want to say this. Since the middle of January, there's a G3 conference, and Andrew Rappaport had a booth set up to advertise, I guess you would say, the community. I've noticed that there has been a pretty significant, in fact, pretty large increase in download stats. And so this is another reason why I wanted to bring up some things for new listeners. And I wanted to kind of wait for a little bit. Here it is, at least a month later, because what can happen with a shot in the arm with download stats is, bang, it spikes because people just heard about you. And then they hear you, and then it goes away. Well, let me just say thanks, because our download stats have not gone away. So, big appreciation. As one podcaster I listen to says, we may not have the best show, we may not be the best hosts, but we have the best listeners. So, hats off to to you all. Now, let's get going with what we'll call our Meet the Hosts, Statement of Faith, Main Topic.
Main Topic.
Preface this. Number one on the Southern Baptist doctrines was the scripture. What the Bible is. The Bible is actually number two on ours. The first thing is this, and I don't know if the Southern Baptist Convention has anything like this or not, but I think it's worth looking at. The Great Commandment. We believe that love one for another, as Jesus loves the believer, manifests our discipleship, proves our love for God, and symbolizes our authority as New Testament churches. Love is, therefore, the great commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ upon which all other are dependent. Now, here it's when Jesus, there's several scriptures here given, but one of them is when Jesus said that the greatest commandment was love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, your soul. The second, like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And on this rests all the law and the prophets. So that we have there. Now, under the Bible, it says we believe in the infallible verbal inspiration of the whole Bible, and that the Bible is the all-sufficient rule of faith and practice. That means it's God everything. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto good works. At 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, also listed is Psalm 119:60, which if y'all want to go to it, you can add it later. But now I found this quite interesting, looking at the Baptist faith and message under the scriptures. Look at all this. I mean, Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early the next morning and set up an altar, 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel at the base of the mountain. What's that? That's the law. That's the words of God. By the way, I think all of these are going to be the Holman Christian Standard Bible. He also lists, I won't read all of these, but I tell you one thing I like. In the Southern Baptist faith and message, it's got so many more scriptures. So many more scriptures than we had. And I like that. And some of them, like Psalm 119:11, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. But let's read what Southern Baptists say.
Statements of Faith. I want to read, just straight up read the Statement of Faith from the Baptist Faith and Message version from the year 2000, which is developed by the Southern Baptist Convention, which I am a part of. The Holy Bible was written by men divinely inspired and is God's revelation of himself to man. It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God's for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. Therefore, all scripture is totally true and trustworthy. It reveals the principles by which God judges us and therefore is and will remain until the end of the world, the true center of Christian union, and the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creeds, and religious opinions should be tried. All scripture is a testimony to Christ, who is himself the focus of divine revelation. Let me go back up and go through it line by line again. The Holy Bible was written by men divinely inspired? Well, I think so, because it says, even in the Bible, many times, the oracle of the word of the Lord came to prophet, insert name here. It specifically says, Moses wrote down these words. So I do believe that the scripture, as we have them, are accurate in the events that they describe, and they were and the words were inspired by God and given to men. In this way, it is God's revelation of himself to man. Now, even if we didn't have a book, even if we didn't have words, there's a thing called general revelation or natural revelation. And this is where Psalms 102, I think, puts it best, that the heavens and the earth declare His majesty. They declare that there is a creator. Somebody, something, somewhere out there made all this. That's general, and I think the scripture is a very specific revelation of God to man. And because of that, it is a perfect treasure of divine instruction, because I don't think God makes mistakes. Are all the old books ever written in the Bible? No. Some of them may have been very good books, but I don't think that they would have added anything to the 66 books we now have in that collection, and I don't think they would have taken anything away. But the 66 books that we now have collected are that perfect treasury, a handbook, as it were. And I think this is the core. I mean, if I were to strip away all the rest of this, this is the core of what I believe about the Bible. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. That statement there is the core of my personal belief about what the scripture is. Some things, if you want to contact me and argue about, I'd be glad to hear it. But I think this is the core that I'm not going to be swayed from. Therefore, all scripture is totally true and trustworthy. And again, some people may say, well, this is not historically correct because archaeologists say this or that. But I will tell you this. I keep tabs on things in archaeology world, and there have been in the past plenty of skepticism and reason to doubt. But the more science, outside science of archaeology, finds things, it only fills in a lot more detail, and we find that the Bible historical events are real, and they did happen. And they happened about the time when the Bible says that they did happen. It reveals the principles by which God judges us. As God's creation, don't you think God is judging us by our sins? Don't you think we ought to know what those sins are? I think everybody is familiar with the adage that ignorance is no excuse of the law. Just because, say, a speed limit sign got knocked down and you were driving 35 through a school zone, ignorance of that is no excuse. Because if you have a driver's license, you've sat through the classes, you've had the rules of the road, and you know if there's a school, you got to slow down. But that's just an example. You know that you shouldn't break into a store. Well, there's no sign saying I shouldn't break into the store, so it must be okay. That's just being ignorant of the law, and it's no excuse. And if we want to know what God's law is, these scriptures reveal those principles. So we won't be surprised when we go on stand on judgment day to say, I didn't know, because it'll be made clear. And therefore is and will remain to the end of the world. Now, this permanency here is because God is an eternal God, and God's word will last to the end of the world as we know it. And honestly, as far into eternity, forward or backwards as you want to go, since God is an eternal God, His laws will always be His laws. The true center of Christian union. So anything, no matter what flavor of Christian you are, you may have a differing idea about a doctrine or a teaching. Maybe you're interpreting, what does Paul mean when he said that? What did Moses mean when he wrote that? If the Bible, the scriptures, is our center of where Christians should be able to use as a touchstone for Christian Union or Fellowship, you might say, too. It's the supreme standard by which all human conduct. It also adds creeds and religious opinions to be tried. Now, here's where I have a slight dispute. On this first part of that, it says the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creeds, and then it switches, it softens it, and it says religious opinions. I'd take a harder line on that. I would get rid of the word religious. I think that Scripture, even if you're not a Christian, even if you're not even a believer, I believe that the Scripture will be the filter, the final standard on all human standards and all human creeds and all human opinions, not only religious ones. So I would even take a firmer stance than what the Southern Baptists are taking there. All Scripture is a testimony to Christ. You know, probably for a long time didn't really understand that. But if you think about it, everything in the Old Testament, from Genesis to the final writings of the last prophet, which would be Malachi, everything was pointing to a coming Messiah. And everything from Matthew to Revelation is talking about, hey, the Messiah came. And what does that put Jesus? At the focal center of the Scripture, who is himself the focus of divine revelation. So everything about the Bible, why do we have it? Why is it important? It all focuses on Jesus. And what is Jesus here for? For salvation. Why is that important? Well, because the Bible reveals the standard God has about sin. And these are all reasons why I think it's important. Now, there's a whole ton of Scripture that the Southern Baptists include to support this statement, which there are so many. It'd take me 90 minutes, and I still wouldn't get to all the Scripture supports. So if you are curious about that, for sure get a hold of me. Or you can probably just do a search for Baptist Faith and Message 2000, and you will find it online at, I think it's sbc.org. I forget the exact URL.
Welcome to Two Guys in the Bible, a conversation on theology, culture, and the Word of God. My name is Eric Leupold. I'm joined, as always, by my friend and brother in the Lord, Dylan Keniston. Good morning, Dylan. How are you?
Good morning, Eric. I'm doing well. To begin, evangelism, you know, broadly understood, is the proclamation of the good news, to preach the good news, to share the good news with non-believers. You know, why we do that? God says to, is kind of the short answer.
If you have any questions about evangelism, sharing the gospel, apologetics, things like that, we'd love to do follow-up discussions on that. So please email us at the number two guys in a bible.podcast@gmail.com, or just go to our brand new website, twoguysinabible.org, and you can submit a contact form. So thank you again for listening, and until next time.
All right. God bless.
Continuing on, part three of the ABA over at abaptist.org. We believe in the personal triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, equal in divine perfection. And he uses Matthew 28:19, where you're baptized in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And that's a good verse. I'll agree with that. But let's look at what Southern Baptists say about God. Now, I want to tell you this. There is more later that is given about God in the doctrinal statements of the ABA. Okay? So some of this may be covered twice at some point, and that's okay.
Statement of faith about God. And I'll be reading this directly off of the Baptist Faith and Message, version 2000 from the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, I won't read the whole section because unlike other statements of faith, and another one that Nathan will be presenting has the Trinity separated, and the Southern Baptists add that in the same section. So let me just read this first statement here. There is one and only one living and true God. He is an intelligent, spiritual, and personal being, the creator, redeemer, preserver, ruler of the universe. God is infinite in holiness and all their perfections. God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and his perfect knowledge extends to all things, past, present, and future, including the future decisions of his free creatures. To him, we owe the highest love, reverence, and obedience. The eternal triune God reveals himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with distinct personal attributes, without division of nature, essence, or being. And like I said, it goes on to break out the three personalities of the Trinity. Now, let me back up and go through this statement by statement, because there are some things in here that I think could be explained a little better. There is one and only one living and true God. That's pretty strong there, in my opinion, and I believe that. There is only one God. He is a living God. He is intelligent, spiritual, and personal being. Now, in the many scriptural supports the Southern Baptists include to support this statement, I personally didn't find anything really strong to support this or compelling entirely. He indeed is an intelligent being, because it takes intelligence to create the massive and intricate universe that we live in. He is spiritual, of course. Even in John's gospel, it says that those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. He's invisible, immortal, almighty God, I think it says in Romans. He's a personal being, and this is one that I don't think that the Southern Baptists provided a lot of supports on, but he does have a personality. We are created in his image. Don't we have personalities? Of course God has a personality. He is the creator, redeemer, preserver, and ruler of the universe. He did indeed create us. There's plenty of scripture to attest to that. He redeems us. He preserves us. He redeemed us in that we have Christ now as our redeemer. Even in the Old Testament, he had all kinds of laws about redeeming and delivering and such like that. He preserves us. You know, there's a thing, what's it called, providence, which means to basically see ahead of time. That's how God provides, through providence and seeing our needs before we even know we have a need. He is, of course, the ruler. He's the sovereign of the universe. God is infinite. I would say eternal in that as well. And holiness, that is one key thing of his character. And I don't think I saw that in the scripture supports from the SBC, but there are so many places where God says, I am holy. Be thou holy, for I am holy. That is one of, among others, that's one of God's more important attributes. He is so infinite, and this kind of glosses over, and all other perfections. So anything, what it's saying there, anything you can think of as moral, or good, or right, or love, those kind of things, kindness, any moral perfections, God is infinite in. You know, I would say even his wrath, because and how can he be wrathful and loving at the same time? Well, if you love somebody or something and you see it besmirched, the old-timey word, you see it offended, wouldn't that bring up your wrath? Even though you express love, you're not expressing wrath toward what you love. You're expressing wrath on the challenge to that. And just like God's infinite love for what he loves, he has infinite wrath for what would offend that. It goes on to say God is all-powerful and all-knowing. One thing it doesn't say here is he's also always present. Omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient is the three omni words that I've always been aware of. There's probably more, but those are the three big ones I've always grew up learning. His perfect knowledge extends to all things. In other words, as smart as scientists are, they discover so much, and they like point, be skeptical and say, oh, you believe in the God of the gaps. But guess what? My God of the gaps invented what you just discovered. So you got the science of the gaps. You had to have fill in the gaps that he made for you to discover. That is how perfect knowledge extends to all things. Past, present, and future. Like I said, the things the science is discovering now have been around for millions and millions of years, if you want to quote from Carl Sagan. But they've been around for sure since the beginning of creation. That's past. God knows everything that's happening now, and he knows what's going to happen in the future. Why? He wrote the future. Including the future decisions of his free creatures. This foreshadows the issue of eternal security and free will. But if you think about this, the future decisions, when Christ died on the cross some 2,000 years ago, for your sins and my sins, we didn't commit those sins yet. So God knows what his free creatures have decided before we decide it. So is there predestination? I would prefer to say foreknowledge. Do we have free choice? We do, but our free choices are no surprise. I'll put it that way. They don't surprise God. He knew he was going to choose that dumb thing to do, or that smart thing to do. To him, we owe the highest love, reverence, and obedience. We should realize that God, yes, he is a personal God, but because he is, we should obey him. It's easier to obey somebody when you love them. When you love them, you don't have to be told to obey. And we should be reverent about it, not flippant, not casual. God's not our buddy. He's God. I mean, if we was to see him in his current state now, or in our current state now, we would die. The Bible says no man has seen God and lived. People in the Bible have seen manifestations. They call that, what's that, the Christology? No, is that it? But anywhere where they believe Christ showed himself early. The eternal, God is eternal, triune God reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Those are the three personalities of God. And this goes on to say, with distinct personal attributes, without a division of nature, essence, or being. So how can that be? Well, the Trinity, and this is where this statement ends, the Trinity is a tough topic. But here's the thing is, what this is saying is there's three personalities, but one God. You might also think of the personalities as the roles of God. Yes, God is God the Father, God the Almighty Creator. At the same time, he is God the Son, the Redeemer who comes in physical form. At the same time, he has the role as the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is interchangeable. It's referred to as the Spirit of God, the Father. Or sometimes it's referred to as the Spirit of Jesus, or the Spirit of Christ. But it's the same spirit. One God in attributes, all divine attributes, all the same. But how he interacts at any given time, he interacts in one of those roles. And he can be all three at the same time. And we see this from scriptural support when Jesus was baptized, and there's Jesus, the physical son, the spirit shows up as the dove, and the Father's voice is heard. We see this when there's the transfiguration. We see those same three, the spirit as the dove, the Father's voice, and Jesus is transfigured. So they do exist at the same time. It's not like you can only have one at a time. So that's kind of a fast description of a complicated topic. And that's what I have. We'll get more into the rest of the statement at a different time when we talk about Trinity.
Welcome to the Blue Stocking Baptist Podcast. My name is Hannah Oliver, and I'm here with my co-host, Esther Faulkner. Esther and I are both particular Baptists who hold to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. The Blue Stocking Baptist Podcast is an informal podcast for women with intelligent and literary interests related to Christian doctrine and life. Esther and I both have a passion to see unbelievers come to the faith, and so we hope our material will be used for the furtherance of God's kingdom. You can email us at thebluestockingbaptists@gmail.com or find us on Facebook at The Blue Stocking Baptists or on Twitter at She Baptists. Thank you so much, and God bless, guys.
All right, and just to wrap things up here, the statements of faith between our two denominations are very similar. The Southern Baptists do get a little more verbose, and they have a lot of extra scriptural supports. In my opinion, sometimes they could have did better, and some of them leave me scratching my head of why they put that in there. But the key thing is that we at least we think we do. We have a pretty good foundational theological understanding of who God is and what Christianity is about. And I do like the fact that the American Baptist Association has that Great Commandment statement in there. The Southern Baptists, I don't think, have that. But that is definitely a good guiding point. And putting to use to exercise statements of faith, because it doesn't matter how good your theology is, if you don't have that understanding of love, everything needs to be in the context of applying your legalism or theology with a flavor of love. That was the thing. The one thing, if you read the Revelation churches, Revelation 2, 1 and following, the Ephesus church got praised because of their theology and their understanding, but their one thing was they had lost the love. And it comes, to my, in my opinion, into some other understandings about aspects of God and things. And I didn't want to get too deep into the Trinity thing, of course, because different statements of faith break it out differently. So I'll just leave it kind of that part incomplete. We'll talk about it again at a later time. So there is some final housekeeping. So there's not much more to say other than this is your podcast host, Deputy Keith, signing off. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend about us, because that really is how we grow the most. See you next week.
Visit life-truth.com, the new home for all our Quest for Truth shows. While you're there, subscribe to the shows. Sign up for email notifications. Send an email or leave a voicemail at 401-753-4844. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at Protectors of the Book, facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music for the show provided by permission of Kevin Zerbe, Zerbinator.wordpress.com. May God richly bless you. If you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.